May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 947. 947. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? Hymn 947.
the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. For behold, the Lord of hosts, to take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honourable man, and the counsellor and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbour. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honourable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, "Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand." In that day shall he swear, saying, "I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe unto the wicked, he shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people, and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces, and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing, margin tripping nicely as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their calls, and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands and the tablets, and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, boldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and grant us prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God, enable us as one by the leading of thy Spirit to bow now at thy feet and plead mercy in the name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst enable us tonight to worship thee. Thou wouldst not leave us to the form of godliness, which denieth the power thereof, but that thou wilt grant us the power. Power belongeth unto thee. Also, O Lord, to thee belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his works. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst condescend to come down in our midst, yea, into our very hearts. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst, Lord Jesus, bless us with an Emmaus Road blessing. Thou wouldst warm our cold hearts and make our heart one, our heart to burn within us. Oh, do talk with us by the way. Expound unto us in all the scriptures the things concerning thyself. Lord, thou knowest where each one of us have been this day. We thank thee for the mercies of this day, for the help, Lord, in regard to the perishing things of this time state that we have need to attend to. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that we are now favoured to turn aside and ask, Lord, that it may truly be an hour of fellowship and communion with thee. Lord, that thou wouldst prepare our hearts to receive the word, that thou wouldst speak thy word with power into those hearts. Make our hearts good ground, Lord, that we may be among those that bear fruit to eternal life, whether it be 30, 60, or 100-fold. Lord, hear the prayers of thy people. Command the blessing, Lord. Oh, pour out thy Spirit. Take not thy Spirit from us. Grant us true repentance from all our sins that grieve thee. Let us say to thy church, I've not found thy works perfect before God. And Lord, we confess it is so. We have come short of thy glory. Lord, all our own works a sin. We need more of thy work, that perfect work, to know more of the work of thy Spirit, conveying the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need more godly fear, more true godly sorrow, repentance, faith, hope and love, humility, meekness, spiritual mindedness, temperance, vital godliness, the reverence of thy great and holy name, Lord, that fear of offending thee, and that enabling, Lord, by thy Spirit to do that which pleases thee. We need thy direction, Lord, in our path. We need a heart to seek it. Lord, not for a while, but always. We do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst guide this people aright in their own personal cases, in the families, in the church here. For, Lord, they are truly safe who are led by thee. Lord, do not let us get in front of thee. For, Lord, that will only cause us grief, at the very least. O Lord, do keep us close behind thee. Do not leave us like Peter, to follow afar off. For though we know he was saved, we know he is now with thee in glory. But Lord, following afar off, cost him much grief. O Lord, oh, we do pray that thou wouldst draw us nigh. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road which leads me to the Lamb. Oh, forgive our transgressions, Lord. Blot them out as a thick cloud. The sins in thought. Thou art he that searcheth the hearts and the reins, the inmost mind and thought. Oh, how foul and black we must appear, most holy God, to thee. And Lord, sins of word, every idle word, every unbelieving word, every frivolous, silly word, oh, forgive it, Lord. Every proud word, self-righteous word. Lord, every word in which there is hatred, malice, every word in which there is deceit, do forgive. And Lord, those sins of action, every wrong step, Lord, oh, the movement of the hands in the things that we do in our life, in business, in the home, our Lord, in the church of God. And then, Lord, we would confess all those omissions. Lord, oh, our sins are beyond recounting. Forgive us, Lord. We plead the perfect righteousness of thy dear Son. We plead for that clothing in that garment of needlework that thy bride is given by thee. And we pray, Lord, for that glory within, the robe without and Christ himself within. Oh, Lord. Oh, it's a great thing we ask. But, Lord, nothing less will do. Oh, leave none of us to be like that man in the parable. How camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment? Leave us not to be a foolish virgin. No oil. Lord, we pray to be made right and kept right, whatever the cost. For Lord, the cost of not being made right and kept right is unspeakably greater. Lord, we do pray to be made wholly submissive. Oh, how separating is the truth. Lord, that young man came running to thee, and he got on his knees before thee, and he asked thee a good question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But when thou didst give him the answer, a total resignation to thee needed, he went away sad, for he was very rich. Lord, we do pray, constrain these hearts to part with all, to resign all, to sink into thy arms outright, and lose myself in Jesus Christ. Look upon Zion. Thou knowest the hearts of those that weep for her this night. The desolations, we've read of them, Lord. It's happening in our day. Lord, cleanse us from our own personal sins. Cleanse Zion, Lord. Give repentance, a searching and a trying of our ways, and a turning again unto thee. Lord, to the simplicity. Lord, cause us to turn away from all other to thee. This is where we've gone wrong. Lord, there is this thing and that thing, but there is only one thing needful. Oh, we do pray. Restore us. Recover us. Purge us from our sin. Purge us with his. We shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Lord, we do pray that individually thou cause us each to see some man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? To see some ourselves. Lord, we pray for gracious Holy Spirit separation from the world, cleansing from the world within and from the world without. Lord, we pray for that nearness to thee. Lord, may it yet be said, even in this land, may there yet be a people to whom it can be said, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Lord, oh, we pray, enable us to do the first works. Lord, restore those that have left their first love. Lord, how often we do. Oh, we do pray for grace to return and to do the first works, to fall at thy feet as a sensible sinner, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, bless this people then, and thy church throughout this land. Lord, do give repentance that the church be not removed from the British Isles, and from this village here, and from those places, Lord, where thou yet hast a church. Lord, we do pray. Build the church up in grace, in the knowledge of Jesus, and if it is thy will, in numbers too. Bless this church here, each member of it. Help them each to hold fast that which thou hast given them. Lord, grant Zion the grace of humility. Give thy people, Lord, the grace, Lord, to esteem other better than themselves, to pray one for another, to wash one another's feet in a spiritual sense, in prayer and in sound counsel, in reproof, in love, considering themselves, lest they also be tempted. O Lord, may there be a restoration of the breaches. We read in thy word, even in that prophecy we've read from tonight, we read of the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. We need it in our day. It's thou, Lord Jesus. And Lord, when thou art in a person, thou dost through them fulfill that role, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Bless the families, watch over our children and keep them, we pray. Put thy grace in their hearts, thy tender fear. Help them to pray. Help them to seek, bless them to find early in life. Preserve them from the errors, the evils, the wickedness of the day. Give grace and wisdom to parents. Bless the word read in the homes. Help the fathers to pray with their wives and with their children. Oh, we do pray. There may be a restoration in all these things, but it can only be by thy blessing. We ask for it in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen.
Hymn 876. When the chosen tribes debated, against their God as hardly treated, and complained their hopes were spilt, God for murmuring to requite them, fiery serpents sent to bite them, lively type of deadly guilt. Hymn 876.
attendance on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, Isaiah chapter 3. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, he shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. A text divides the whole human race into two companies. All of us here this evening are in one of those two companies. The Lord says to his servants, say ye to the righteous, he shall be well with him. The righteous have this characteristic about them. That righteous seed that is planted in them, that new man of grace, they need the Lord, they want the Lord to assure them of it. For after by wisdom the world knew not God. My dear friend, you'll never be able to work out with your own mind. You're among the righteous. You'll never be able to see with your natural sight, work out with your natural mind. That wonderful truth, Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness. After the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Them that believe. The Lord says to his servants, say ye to the righteous. Paul says, doesn't he, that my teaching and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Comfort ye my people. That's the righteous. God's people are the righteous. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that is from above, the church of the living God, Jew and Gentile. Her iniquity is pardoned. Her sin is covered. She has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Her warfare is accomplished. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked. You notice the Lord doesn't tell his servants to say woe unto the wicked. For the most part, the Lord allows the wicked to go on unreproved. He allowed the foolish virgins to go on in their ignorance. God himself, of course, by his word, declares the woe unto the wicked. The wicked shall be cast into hell. That is the woe. My dear friend, if we are favoured with the outpouring of the Spirit that we try to keep praying for, I hope you do, hell and heaven will be made the realities they once were. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. John Berridge confesses, doesn't he, concerning hell, "My heart by nature is a stone, and unconcerned can look upon eternal misery." But when the Holy Spirit works, we can't look on unconcerned. It's a dreadful reality. That's why the Word of God speaks firstly of Christ himself and then of his people, crying unto God out of the belly of hell. That's why Elihu in his sermon preached to the man that was drawing nigh to the grave and his soul to the destroyers. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him. The opposite to what it is with the righteous. But this is God's view of things. This, therefore, is the true view of things. But you remember Asaph. Until the Lord brought him into the sanctuary, he didn't have God's view of things. He was envious of the wicked when he saw their prosperity. They're not in trouble like other men. They're not plagued like other men. But when the Lord took him into the sanctuary, in the sanctuary he had the Holy Spirit upon him, the Spirit of truth, in Christ Jesus, who is the sanctuary, he saw the slippery place that the Lord had placed the wicked in. He saw the slippery slope that they were on. That they were on that broad, slippery slope to eternal perdition, a Christless eternity. What a solemn statement of what hell is, a Christless eternity. You to whom Christ has been made in any measure precious, doesn't your soul tremble at the very description of hell, a Christless eternity? You who are favoured from time to time to get the ear of the Lord Jesus, you will never enter a Christless eternity. You cannot have the ear of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. You cannot be favoured to come to his mercy seat, to commune with him there as he tells you, as he draws you to that place. You cannot be there and then be sent to hell. But my dear friend, tonight that place I've spoken of, the mercy seat of Christ. Am I speaking to someone or more than one here tonight, and you have to acknowledge you don't know that mercy seat. You don't know that Christ that sits on that mercy seat. Approach my soul now, the mercy seat. That's the only way, my dear friend, you can escape this woe unto the wicked. It is Christ that makes a wicked person righteous. It's the mercy of Christ bestowed. It's the blood of Christ applied. It's faith in Christ that justifies. It's the knowledge of Christ. You know we sing that hymn, don't we? Prepare me, gracious God. Well, let me, if the Lord may enable me, let me tell you from the word of God what it is to be prepared. You say, how can I be prepared to die? Well, listen to what the Saviour is going to say to those who are not prepared to die. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting burning. I never knew you. So to be prepared to die is to know Christ. Not to know about him, but to know him. For him to know your soul in your adversities. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, he said, and they follow me. They shall all know me. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. The eye of faith. I'm not speaking about the seeing of him with their natural eyes, that's not possible. And that wasn't enough, was it, when it was possible? It wasn't enough to see him with your natural eyes if you were on this earth. You're among those who are on this earth when he was physically present. No. To see him by faith. For him to show himself through the lattice of his word. To discover himself. To be favoured with that view you've sung of in that hymn just now. Look, ye sinners. Ye that stung him. Look how deep your sins have stung him. Dying sinner, look and live. Did someone ask me, how will I know whether I have this knowledge? How will I know whether I have this sight? Well, what was the effect of that upon that Israelite of seeing the brazen serpent, who is the Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus on the cross? What was the effect? He lived. Every man that had a serpent bite, when he looked upon the serpent of brass, he lived. That's what it means to see Christ. To live while you behold him die. As a dying, perishing sinner, to have this Jesus preached to your soul with the Holy Ghost, and you be favored to see him. And the effect of that will be you are spoiled to every other sight. When you see him, you fall into nothingness at his feet. When you see him, everything else loses all its beauty. When you see him, you see all your salvation and all your desire. You see him, your heart is melted. Your fears are removed. Your guilt pardoned. Your sin pardoned. Your guilt put away. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Although the terminology is different, we see in these two verses the same principle. They shall eat the fruit of their doings, the righteous. The reward of his hands shall be given him. Jesus said that in the day of judgment, the whole human race will be judged according to their doings. In connection with this text, my mind today has been in those letters of the Lord Jesus Christ to the churches in the beginning of the book of the Revelation. In the second chapter, in the letter to Thyatira, the Lord speaks of those that commit adultery and those that are led astray by that woman Jezebel, commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. He gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. He says, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins, that is the innermost mind and thought and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now I need grace, I need the Holy Spirit to help me to simply, to faithfully declare what this means. Salvation is of grace. You sang in that hymn just now, works cannot give me remission. Sin is within me, and it is all about me. The remedy is without me. See it in the Saviour's precious blood. But those who by the Spirit are convinced of their sin and brought to Christ, in that being brought to Christ, there is what Jesus Christ speaks of in those letters in Revelation 2, of those first works. They're not their own works, but they are the things that that sinner does. You say, well, isn't that a contradiction of terms? No. The answer is found in the words of the apostle where he says, it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. What are those first works which the Lord calls his people who have left their first love? What are those first works he calls them to do again? What are the first works that the Holy Spirit works in a sinner? Trembling before Almighty God. What does the Lord Jesus say concerning the one that trembles at the word of the Lord? He says, to this man will I look. The one that trembleth at my word. And if Jesus looks upon you, my dear friend, it'll be well. Didn't you sing in the first hymn? If thou art mine, all will be well. And why not so? For who can tell? Among those first works that the Lord Jesus calls us to, a turning from our sin in godly sorrow. Godly sorrow, which is the work of the Holy Ghost, but which is the work of the sinner. David at the end of Psalm 51 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou not despise." It's the fruit of the Saviour's sin-atoning death. But the one that is given that grace is by that grace found in this first work. Grieving over my sin, mourning over my transgressions, confessing them unto the Lord. That was the first work that the publican in the parable did, wasn't it? God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the church, all the Lord's people will be made publicans. Whether they're young ones and they've never prayed that prayer before, or whether they're in the midst of the life and they, in their first works by grace, did pray that prayer, but they've got away from it. Whether it be that old man, that old woman on the borders of eternity. You know, there was once a godly man years ago, and he died with that prayer on his lips. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And his son, who didn't know the truth for himself, he was listening. He was there when his father died, and he said, "I can't understand it. If that man was going to heaven, why did he have to, when he died, pray the prayer of the publican, 'God be merciful to me, a sinner'?" And somebody said to him, "Think about what Jesus said about the man who prayed, 'God be merciful to me, a sinner.' This man went down to his house justified rather than the other." These all died in faith. My dear friend, faith is a complete resignation into the hands of God. I think I mentioned at the end of my prayer, if I remember rightly, the desire I uttered, the petition, that the Lord would give us that complete resignation. He would not let us, leave us, to hold back at all, to hold anything back. That young man in the experience that is recorded in the gospel, when Jesus called him to give up everything and follow Christ, what he had was worth too much to him. Oh, my dear friend. We don't look down on that man. If we're any different, it's only grace that has made us so. How many of us can say this evening, today, we have been brought to that blessed, complete resignation? The hymn writer says, doesn't he? "Teach me to resign. Teach me to resign." Isn't this the first work? My dear friend, if there's a day in your life when the Holy Ghost calls you to fall naked, helpless, into the arms of the Lord, feeling to have come to the end of everything, feeling to be bankrupt, feeling that everything you've got, oh, what a blessed thing it is to be brought to resign everything. Why? Because everything we have that the Lord calls us to resign is of no worth. Nay, my dear friend, it is of such a dreadful impediment and a dreadful hindrance and a dreadful clog. If when we come to die, my dear friend, there's anything of ourself upon us, that thing of ourself would take us down into the pit. He that will not forsake all is not worthy of me, he says. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. They shall eat the fruit of their doings, these first works I was speaking of. Especially that work of faith. You remember Jesus when he was teaching? He said on one occasion, labor not for the bread that perisheth. That's what the wicked do. That's the definition of the wicked. But for that bread which endureth unto everlasting life. And the people asked him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the work. Now, my dear friend, let me straight away say that this is a spiritual work, not a work of the flesh. By grace, sovereign, favour of God, by grace are ye saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. My dear friend, it's not going to be well with anyone because of any work that they have done of themselves. Faith is not a duty. It is a grace. A blessed grace, as all graces are. But remember what Paul says after he has said that I've just quoted, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. What do you mean, Paul? And he immediately answers, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You know what create means, don't you? There's only one who's a creator. The creator. To create means to make out of nothing. I suppose all of us have made something in our life. It's the work that many of us do, whether it be in the home or in the factory, wherever it is. That's making. That's taking a material that the Creator has given us and turning it into something created in Christ Jesus out of nothing. These works, my dear friend, are created in Christ Jesus out of nothing. They're created in Christ Jesus in that Christ Jesus did all those works. I think I've spoken to you before, probably more than once, about the precious truth that Christ was the perfect believer. He trusted in God. They said to him when he was on the cross, and oh, how he did. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. His faith was a tried faith. Witness Psalm 22. He walked the path for a season of unanswered prayer. He prays, he cries out. His father hides his face. No answer comes. But he prays on. And he obtains the answer. So these works are the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, conveyed to the sinner by the Holy Ghost. You've also heard me speak of how the Lord blessed to me a sermon when I was a young man. That sermon of Jonathan Rankin Anderson's on the spirit of grace and of supplications. And he says in that sermon, and it was a means of delivering my soul from a snare. He says, if you don't come to Christ as an unbeliever, you'll never come as a believer. God hath wrought all our works in us, says the man of God. So these righteous with whom it shall be well, it will be well because God sent his Son. All those blessed truths, may they be of the Spirit, enter into our hearts tonight and warm these cold hearts of ours and draw our hearts up in affection to the one of whom the words are spoken. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Behold my servant, the one who does my work. My servant whom I uphold. The Father directs his people to his servant, his Son whom he upholds. He can uphold him. He can uphold him. Because he hath done nothing amiss. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth and the isles shall wait for his law. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? They weren't slow of heart to believe then, were they? They didn't have cold hearts then, did they? And when the Lord had kindly revealed himself in that house and then had disappeared, they can't keep away from Jerusalem. They return, though it is now, must be night time. It was toward evening and the day is far spent before they went into the house. Oh, and the spouse in the Song of Solomon, when her Saviour is put in his hand by the hole of the door, she doesn't say then, I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I wash my feet, how shall I defile them? No. She gets out into the streets and lanes of the city, seeking after him. And she found him. That's eating the fruit of your doings. But who's the spring of the doings? Jesus is. Poor sinner tonight, who says, I can't do anything, so I must be amongst the wicked. All I do has condemnation written against it. My best is stained and dyed with sin. My all is nothing worth. There's one, my dear friend, who cried out, it is finished. Ask him. Ask him to let that blessed water of life down into your soul. Ask him to give you faith. Ask him to give you a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. This is the opposite of what the righteous fears. That's why it needs to be said to them. The Lord doesn't tell his servants to go and comfort the wicked. The Lord Jesus preached to cases, didn't he? If I am from the Word of God describing your case tonight in speaking of the righteous case, it will be well with you, but you need the Spirit to assure you of it. You need him to speak this comfort, to distill it upon your soul, to give you this assurance. Why do the righteous fear it will be ill with them? The Lord has made them in some measure to know himself, to know themselves, to hear the word of the law and of the gospel. Do you know what it is to be condemned by the law and the gospel? You say, surely there's no condemnation in the gospel. No. But when a poor sinner hears the gospel and it doesn't come into their heart with power, even that gospel seems to condemn them in the sense that they seem to be outside the number to whom that gospel applies. There's no condemnation in the blood of Jesus Christ. But oh, who is it that receives the no condemnation? In the sweet experience of it, it is the one who is favored with that faith. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How often the child of God feels to be outside Christ Jesus. And so they say, it's not going to be well with me. And my dear friend, it won't be well with you if you remain outside him. But are you doing, by the grace of God, sometimes what Jesus spoke of in his promise. And you know it's his promise brought into the soul by the power of the Holy Ghost that causes the child of God to do it. Every one of these doings has a promise prompting that doing. Ask, he says, and it shall be given thee. Isn't that one of the first works that the Lord calls his people back to? Am I speaking to someone here this evening? And there was a day when you really asked. Perhaps a year, years, you really asked and you obtained. And now you've forgotten. You've forgotten how to ask. You still say your prayers, but you've forgotten how to ask. Repent, he says, and do the first works. Ask. There was a man in a place years ago speaking in prayer publicly. And he was telling the Lord this, and he was telling the Lord that, and he was telling the Lord the other, and a woman, so burdened in her soul, so needy, so destitute, in the end she couldn't resist. Nudging that man behind him and saying, man, ask for something. Ask for something. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. They shall eat. I thought of the Saviour's, one of the Saviour's beatitudes concerning this righteousness. He says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for it. Now that's the grace of the Spirit. You know, the one that hungers, they've got a never-dying soul that's so hungry. A never-dying soul that's so thirsty. It's within them. They've got a burden within. They've got an aching void within. This is the righteous. They're hungering and thirsting. That's one of the first works. Hungering and thirsting. You say, yes, that's my trouble. Oh, if you don't feel the hunger and to thirst as you ought. Are you not hungering and thirsting for a hunger and a thirst? I often say in preaching from a text like this, regarding hunger and a thirst, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, and I say to the people, friends, I can't come any lower than this. Are you thirsty for a thirst? Realizing you need your soul so wrought upon by God that you have an inmost feeling, I must have Christ. You see, nothing else is going to save. I'm not going to be saved by being a minister. I'm not going to be saved by being a strip Baptist. I'm not going to be saved by anything like that. It is only by Christ. If I have Christ, I'm saved. It shall be well with them, for they shall eat. They shall be filled, says Christ. Say ye to the righteous, it shall. Now what's the Lord's purpose in this? That is, righteous people shall, believing the promise that it shall be well, they shall do those things, they shall ask. I was speaking of that word concerning being in Christ, wasn't I? It was really that that led me to the Saviour's words, ask. Because in that same statement he said, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. If you are knocking at the door of the Lord's mercy, it's going to be well with you. Because to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What is it to knock? It is at Jesus' door, the door of his mercy, to ask him to let you in to the knowledge of him, to the banqueting house, to the blessed pool of washing. Let you in to the blessed knowledge of the mystery of his sin-atoning death. For him to count you in the number of his people. How shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage among the nations of the earth? Thou shalt call me my Father and shall not depart from me. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. And those first works, there are many things that the Holy Spirit does in a person, and it brings them into situations where it doesn't seem well with them at all. They are cast out. They are persecuted. They are despised. Many say of them, there is no help for him in God. Through walking in the fear of the Lord, they may lose their job. God's called by grace calls them away from their former friends. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them. My dear friend, if you have to lose your job for Christ's sake, you'll be better off without that job. If you have to lose your life for Christ's sake, you'll live forever and forever. The sinner that is venturing to Christ, he's a fool in the eyes of the wicked. And he often feels to be a fool in his own eyes. His unbelief often says, will Christ take such a wretch as me? Well, try, my dear friend. Compare the stern decree reverse. It may. At least I'll try. It shall be well with him. Who would have said, good King Hezekiah, it's going to be well with you, Hezekiah? When the sentence from God had come, set thine house in order, for thou should die and not live. But didn't he do the first works? He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto his God. He cried sore. He wept like a crane or a swallow. So did he chatter. The devil's laughing. The wicked are laughing. And they would laugh if they could see him. Thou won't do him any good, they would say. It's for one here this evening, And you've got worse and worse and worse, and your works are reduced to nothing but a cry for mercy. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. It shall be well because Jesus answers prayer. It shall be well because Jesus saves unto the uttermost. It shall be well because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. It shall be well because at the house of the Father, there's a Father who is looking for the prodigal son to return. And there's a Father who has enough love to go and run on his neck and kiss him, even when he's dressed in his rags. And there's a robe prepared for this prodigal son. I will arise and go to my father. That's the first work. And he ate the fruit of his doings. He cast himself upon the mercy of Almighty God. And you'll never perish, my dear friend. It shall be well with you. Because God is faithful. A robe is provided. But I'm not fit for such a robe. I haven't the faith to put that robe on. Did the Father leave the Son to put it on himself? No. The Father put the robe on. And a ring on his hand. These righteous, they have an interest in the everlasting love of God that has no beginning and no end. It's going to be well with those loved of God with an everlasting love. It's going to be well, there's a house, there's a home for these. There's a feast prepared for these. But oh, if there's one thing that describes the wellness of the state of that returning prodigal, it was this, wasn't it? This, my son, was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. It shall be well. In life, it shall be well. Say ye to the righteous. The Almighty God who causes them to cry unto him has a full bank. And that bank will never collapse. Is there one here tonight and through the fear of the Lord and trust in God, it seems as though you're going to be worse off? No. No, my dear friend. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are his, and all men's hearts are in his hand. Mind you, let us remind ourselves of what this is. What are these doings that they shall eat the fruit of? They're not our own schemings. Thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. Isn't there too much scheming going on today? Isn't there very little walking by faith today? Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well. Wasn't it well with David when he went against Goliath, trusting only in his God? Wasn't it well with Jehoshaphat when he went looking singly to the Lord, saying, I've no might against his great company, and neither know I what to do, but mine eyes are upon thee. I mentioned earlier how they cast in the Saviour's teeth the ridicule of his faith. He trusted in God. It was well with him. His Saviour, his Father, did uphold him. Mysteriously, he did prevail. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. And even when that fruit of their doings is perhaps in the first instance a providential thing, because it is done, their cries, their prayer has been, their trust has been in God by the grace of the Spirit, the best part of the meal that they have is the favour of God in it. You think of those men of former generations, and women too, had to beg for the next meal. The Lord sent it, didn't he? I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. But what was the sweetest part of that meal? What was it made those tears run down their cheeks as they sat down to eat that meal? God has heard my prayer. I am eating, both naturally and spiritually, the fruit of my doing. Oh, but when a sinner, pleading for God's mercy, looking to Christ for pardon, and that pardon is conveyed, the word of forgiveness, what a meal, what a feast. Oh, that one that has come to the Lord and confessed him, what a, how many fears he's got, and the Lord speaks of fear not. What a feast. When the Lord, when the child of God comes to the Lord saying, I've got this enemy, whether it be the one within or the one without. I've got all these accusers, Lord. I've got this Goliath and he's intent on slaying me. And the Lord overthrows your enemy. Oh, what a feast for your soul. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. When a sinner hungering and thirsting after righteousness is filled with Christ. Oh, when Christ in all his righteousness covers all my badness, all my wrongness, what a feast. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. They don't eat their doings. No. And when they eat the fruit of their doings, they feel concerning their doings, they're nothing. Is there a sinner here tonight? And you say, my faith seems so small, I don't think my faith is great enough for me to get a deliverance. What did Jesus say? If your faith is a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be removed, and it shall be removed. When you eat the fruit of your doings, you forget the doings. You know, when the Lord's people come to the throne, the great white throne of judgment, and Jesus commends them for their doings as he says he will, what do they say? When did we do that, Lord? They don't come to heaven. They don't come to death. They don't come to the judgment seat. Thinking I should get to heaven because of my doings? No. Their doings are of faith and of love and of hope. Their hope is all in Christ. Well, the fullness of this, of course, will be in heaven. It shall be well with them. It shall be well with them. The loving Father, the gracious elder brother, and the kind Holy Spirit, ensuring that at all times it's well. It was well with Joseph when he was down in Egypt. It's well with David when Absalom has risen up against him. Because God's got David in his hands. As Abigail said to him, "The soul of my Lord is bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord." It shall be well. When landed on that shore, where my heart was fixed before, the wellness of heaven, the health of heaven, to be with Christ, that's what it is to be well. But you see, it's well with them when they're in the depths because Christ is with them there. So it's well with them there. It's well when they call upon him and no answer comes, because an answer is reserved. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Amen.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening. And Mr. Timothy Parrish is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1103. O thou that hearest the prayer of faith, wilt thou not save a soul from death that casts itself on thee? I have no refuge of my own, but fly to what the Lord has done and suffered once for me. 1103.
pronounce thy blessing on thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for the encouragement to the righteous, to the beggar, to the suppliant, to the seeker, the asker, the knocker. Lord, help us to hear the warnings and flee from the wrath to come. Lord, bless the word. Assure the righteous, it shall be well, so that they shall say, it is well. By faith, keep us safe. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.